This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Wow, Ethan just pointed something out in the studio. I'm rather shocked, actually. You know, we work in a radio studio, which is an audio medium. Part of the audio medium is, what are those things called? Oh, yeah, speakers! Speakers are a pretty important part. And for like 9 months, I have worked in a studio with one speaker, one monitor speaker. Today, there's a celebration. Fred, I'm going to hold a party because Ethan pointed out, look, there's another speaker in that corner. Now, it doesn't appear to be much sound coming out of that speaker. However, I'm going to take the win as a win.
Small victories. It's a start.
It's right. Now, look, let me. I'm not picking on anyone here. We got like engineers that work their ass off here in this building. The problem is that they're up against it. It's not like I'm not blaming the people that we work with here in the building because they're probably, arguably, more frustrated than we are because they have to fill out the paperwork and stuff like that. And I mean, you would think it wouldn't be that tough, but it was. And I'm going to look at that speaker. It's just beautiful. It's nice and shiny. Ethan? It's kind of a shiny one, right? Of course, it doesn't match up with the other one at all. It'll probably sound different.
Well, maybe they'll fix that one in 9 months.
Nah, why would we want to do that? So I just sent you, Ethan Hannaford, an email that said Kamala, Australia, because just as Fox was wrapping up their 2 o'clock show and Will Kane was getting to start over, they started playing sound bites from Kamala on her book tour in Australia. And Fred, have you heard any of these yet?
No.
She actually, I swear to God. Like, at a certain point, don't you just have to be a little honest on the topic of Joe Biden? Because this interviewer presses her on whether or not, had Joe Biden stayed in the race and won, whether he was capable of fulfilling the next 4 years and if he would have the energy to do so. And she said, oh, yeah, he is fine. I mean, how could you, at this point in this conversation for the last 16 months, ever since that first debate, well, let's face it, it goes back 5 years. Let's just be honest. Most of us were talking about some of this stuff 4.5, 5 years ago, but I thought that that was something else. And she got pressed a little bit, too, by the Aussie journalist, which I thought was interesting in and of itself. And I have an example of that with an American journalist here this afternoon where I'm quite shocked. Sue, you okay? Everything good?
Yeah, thanks for asking.
Wasn't quite sure if you're going to be here today. Well, you weren't here at the beginning, so I didn't know. I asked the question. I said, will Sue be here?
I forgot the stuff I had in my car, so I went back out to get it. They gave me a gift yesterday, and it's all full of stuff that's crunchy and chocolatey and sugar-filled, so I brought it to you.
Because you did you were doing an MC gig yesterday, right?
Yeah. It was.
How did that go?
It went really well, good. And that was fine. But, you know, I really like gifts, but I can't eat any of this, and you guys will eat it all.
Don't you have to have, your agent needs to put something in the contract that says, Sue loves gifts, she just does not eat sugar. Sue would like cash or anything else.
No.
You can't do that.
I don't have cash, but, you know, I think they think, well, we're not going to give her booze. Yeah. So then they go to the, this is level B, which is very thoughtful. But I guess I got to go to level C, which is what? Vegetables? I mean, I'm just very uninteresting when it comes to gifts.
Maybe a pizza or something like that.
I like pizza.
Some fish.
A nice cauliflower crust.
Some fish from Seattle.
Fish is great.
Fly it in. Yeah. So was this like were you doing a speaking thing or was it more like an MC?
Kind of MCing.
Right.
And
okay.
It's SCORE. It's for people who, it's a nonprofit that helps people who are entrepreneurs try to start a business. How do you do it? Where do you get the money? How do you stick with it? How do you market it? And we had the guy who did Water Babies was on. He's from St. Louis, which is a huge doll. And he talked about the story of that. And then we have a panel of people and how they've been successful or just starting their business. It was
nice.
It's fun.
I like that. I like that a lot. That's cool. Well, we missed you yesterday for sure. We had George Gray here. He did The Price is Wrong.
You know what? I heard it on my way home,
legendary.
And it was awesome.
Yeah, we had Ethan somehow pulls out the victory because of the last.
You get the last question.
That's what I do. I win.
That seemed very fair. The World Series game did not last until 3 in the morning. I guess it was 2 in the morning here. It was 3 in the morning on the East Coast the morning before. And the Blue Jays get back into this thing, Fred, last
night.
Yeah,
it was a bit of a letdown, not because of who won, but because the excitement could not match from the previous night. But yeah, Shohei Ohtani gave up the 2-run homer.
To Vladimir Guerrero Jr. That guy's a stud, isn't he? So now, look, I didn't watch as much the last couple of nights. I was more popping in and checking in on it. We were watching some. I can't even remember what I was watching last night. But I did watch some of it when it was 6-1. I'm like, okay, then we're done. Now, did the Blues lose again? Is that what happened last night?
The Blues lost again. 5 straight losses now. And you know, Robert Thomas is still not back. Jake Neighbors is on the injured reserve, so he'll be out for at least 5 weeks. So it's definitely been a bumpy start to the year. 3-6-1 in the first 10. And real quick, I had a stat that I saw yesterday. Now, because the Blue Jays won yesterday's game, the series regardless will end in Toronto. This is the first time baseball history that the season started outside of the U.S. because remember the Cubs and the Dodgers played in Tokyo.
That's right.
And it's the first time that it in the same year that it will end outside of the U.S. because it'll end in Toronto. Kind of interesting.
That's awesome, Ethan. Thanks for pointing out that we have no cultural relevance to Major League Baseball anymore.
America's
football is in Madrid this weekend, so we got nothing that we can call our own. I'll tell you that right now. I want to go back to the Blues just real quick. Not a hockey expert, right? Follow kind of, I've made this clear passively. I haven't really watched much, but here's what I know.
Robert Thomas is awesome.
I do know that. Here's what I know. I know that when teams get off to bad starts like this, it doesn't matter how damn good the coach was the 2 years before or anything like that, they get axed, like right away.
Oh, I see.
So when's Jim Montgomery going to get fired? I'm not saying he should be fired, but you know what I mean. This happens. In fact, when I went to the MAC and they were doing the Jack Buck Awards, or I can't remember the exact name of the event last year, but Hitch was there. Former head coach of the Blues and many other, you know, teams as well. And he kind of joked about it because Montgomery was on the stage and he said, and maybe it was Jim himself that kind of said, yep, I'll be in that same position one day, because it just happens. And we know it's happening right now in college football. And don't get me wrong, I'm being somewhat sarcastic. I'm not saying he should be fired. I'm just saying
it
is
what
seems to be what happens.
In hockey more than any sport, it is what happens. And in fact, the other day, it was a big time Blues writer, I forget which one, said something along the lines of, the performance over the last 10 games with the expectations this team has is something that normally would get a coach fired.
That's right.
That is not going to happen this year. They just gave Jim Montgomery a 5-year extension after, the immediate change in results that he helped build last year. So that is nowhere near where they're at right now with this. But at some point, something has to change.
Well, and, you know, I hope he doesn't get fired. I just don't know what's going on, and they seem to be struggling. I also know that the hockey season's really long, and you can get off to a rough start and still do okay.
Isn't it funny? One of the players last night in the post game said, you know, and it's easier said than done, yes, but you go 6-3-1 over your next 10, which, like, you know, this Blues team definitely has enough talent to do. And you're back to 500, and then all the panic's gone.
And the Blues GM, Doug Armstrong, really wanted Montgomery as head coach. So he may, you know, keep him longer.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, we have a lot of stuff going on. I want to mention Sue was gone yesterday. I'm out the next couple of days. Tomorrow and Friday, we'll have Brad Young filling in tomorrow. Mike Elam will be here on Friday, and he'll host a roundtable. We have Scott Moorfield coming up from Town Hall to talk some politics. And then there's an interesting turnaround in the climate change alarmist world. Bill Gates, one of the chief climate alarmists, the doom and gloom guy, all of a sudden, I don't know what got into some of these people, Fred. I really don't. He's like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't have made all those predictions because they're not coming true. And we'll have Gregory Whitestone, who is a great expert on this particular topic, coming up. We'll have Sue's News for a Wednesday afternoon. Alex Rich is here. You know, he visits with us on Wednesdays. Dwayne Patterson with hotair.com. And then, you know, you have a lot of the ICE situation is still in the news with some changes in the hierarchy. Tom Homan has made some comments on that. We love Chris Klemm, who used to work, you know, the first 100 days in the administration on some of these issues. He's a former Yuma sector border control chief agent, and we'll have him coming up a little bit later as well. But let me start with just a small example here of the media actually doing its job, and I'm rather surprised by this. We do have more, and I'll be very curious in a couple hours to talk with Dwayne. He's very, you know, plugged in insider in the, even though he's out in L.A., in that area, he's very plugged into D.C., and he works with Hugh Hewitt. So we'll see in the next couple of hours if anything changes. But I do sense that some of the momentum is shifting again toward the Republicans in the shutdown, because the Democrats keep saying the same things over and over. Now they're getting, you know, kind of put on the hook by the Republicans, because a bunch of them have kind of admitted that this healthcare thing is their leverage. And then when they're asked about it, you know, well, should you be using the American people and, you know, all these SNAP benefits that are going to be taken away? Senator Hawley's been very vocal about that. There are going to be people that don't have their food stamps coming up this Saturday. Now, members of the House, the Republicans, we spoke with Bob Onder on Friday. Ann Wagner was on a couple of days ago. They are not in Washington, nor have they been there for 28 or 29 days, whatever the number is. Fred, do you know what the number is right now?
Today is 29.
There we go. 29 days. So we know that the SNAP program is going to stop. Here's the speaker.
On Saturday, this gets very real. SNAP benefits will stop flowing to all those who need it. You're talking about tens of millions of Americans at risk of going hungry if the Senate Democrats can continue this gambit. Instead of taking a simple vote to fund the government, which Senate Democrats have now had more than a dozen opportunities to do, Democrat attorneys general are suing the federal government to try to compel SNAP benefits to flow despite the government being closed and despite the fact that there is no money to do that.
Yeah, so look, this gets, and I want to take a break because I don't want to dig into the time of Scott Moorfield, but I do have a great interview. There's a woman by the name of Melanie Stansbury. She's a congresswoman from, I'll have to check. It's either New Mexico. Was it New Mexico? Yeah, New Mexico. Thank you, Ethan. But that's not important. What's important is that Jake Tapper interviewed her about the shutdown and about some of these things and backed her into a corner in a way that I was shocked that Jake Tapper even did. By the way, there's even more media changes. You know, a couple. Have you seen the latest CBS stuff?
No.
I was just reminded of it as I was talking about Jake Tapper. So the big news from a couple of days ago is John Dickerson out at the end of the year. You know, a lot of this is because of Barry Weiss from the Free Press moving in. They're changing the Saturday morning show. They pretty much blew the Saturday morning show up. They're going to make it more like the weekday show, which I actually think is a little unfortunate because the two best shows, this is just my humble opinion, the two best shows that the news division at CBS puts on are both the Saturday morning show and the Sunday morning show.
Which are softer.
Yeah, they are.
And they do music, and Sundays, they have good feature reporting. Yeah, it is good. And I think Saturday is actually pretty decent, too. And it doesn't have Gayle King annoying you like the rest of the week. So, but this is a resources thing. I mean, they're cutting back, I think they said, like 100 staff positions. I mean, we have like 50 or 60 that work on this show, so I can understand how.
I feel like CBS Sunday morning is run completely by drug ads. So as long as people are taking those.
Well, look, Sue, you say that half jokingly, but so is the NFL and everything else.
Really?
The amount of pharmaceutical ads that are on are just incredible. I had this on my list for earlier this week, the Provincia ad with the turtles. Have you seen that one yet?
Or it's Guardians with the dancers.
Is that the dancing? A lot of dancing with the overweight people.
Yeah.
Besides one drug. I feel like it's more than one.
But was it Jardians, or what was the one I had you pull from the Turtles? I'm watching with my daughter. I'm watching either the World Series or NFL the other day, and there's this commercial that comes on, and it's got all these big turtles that are kind of walking around slow and doing their thing. And I'm not really paying attention because they went to the break, and then I realized that both my daughter and I are like completely entranced by this. We can't take our eyes off the turtles.
Of dancing it
was,
turtles.
Yeah, because it was so weird. It was like really creepy. What was the ad, Ethan? I meant to bring this
up on
Monday.
Let me Google it. Dancing
He's
turtles.
Got it. No. It's like Jardians. Okay, so this is what it, this isn't going to give you the visual. Yeah, they're just moping along the turtles.
Slow. Yeah, I know a thing or two about that.
That's the turtle.
Slow is good when it comes to a progressive disease like CKD. Jardiance is a once-daily pill proven to slow the progression of CKD.
I don't even know what that is. All I know is I saw a bunch of giant turtles. And I thought to myself, this is like, is this sort of trying to get kids' attention? Because I'm telling you, my daughter could not take her eyes off it. So
maybe. I don't know. That's weird.
Scott Moorfield, coming up.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
People know the Democrats are responding to fear. It is their fear of the most radical far-left voices in their party that has made them decide to obey the demands of the far-left and to shut down the entire government and thereby inflict all this pain on the people. And almost comically at this point, the Democrats are still out trying to convince you that this is somehow Republicans' fault.
Speaker Mike Johnson there. And yeah, you know, let's go to our friends at CNN, because they're no friends of conservatives, if you will. But Harry Enten, he's having a good time spinning out the poll results, which do not favor the Democrats right now.
It hasn't. If anything, it's been helped a little bit. Take a look here. The shift in net popularity versus pre-shutdown. When we're looking at the Republican Party overall, that brand actually up 2 points. That's within the margin of error, but clearly it hasn't dropped. Come over to this side of the screen. Look at the net approval ratings for Republicans in Congress. It's actually up 5 points since pre-shutdown. So what we're seeing here is the Republican brand in Congress has actually improved somewhat.
Ruh-roh, what is Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries going to do now? Scott Moorfield is with us. He writes over at Town Hall at townhall.com. Scott, how are you this afternoon?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I feel like the tide is turning just a little bit, because I'm seeing legacy media members maybe dial up the pressure on Democrats, because they finally, I guess, realize they can't spread this lie that the Republicans are the ones that are responsible for shutting down government, because time after time, the Republicans in the Senate keep voting to open up the government.
Yeah. I mean, when you're the one filibustering something, I don't understand how they can blame it on the other side. I mean, but I think eventually when people start losing their SNAP benefits, there's going to be a riot somewhere. And I don't know, there's going to be some people that blame the Republicans regardless, but I think mostly it's going to be on the Democrats. So I think the pressure's going to be ramped up, and they're going to have to give in pretty soon.
Well, look, that's going to happen in a few days. And I actually have a montage of some folks up on TikTok and Instagram saying, you know, if they don't get their SNAP benefits, they're gonna loot. And I guess, you know, typically I'm not for looting, and I'm not supporting looting in this case. But on the other hand, you know, when you hear what they say, you kind of understand these are people who, for whatever reason, and there's a variety of reasons, and some are taking advantage of the system, that rely on the SNAP benefits to feed their families. And when you say there's a riot, I don't know that that's just hyperbole.
No, we're kind of moving into an era, and it's kind of scary where we are, just the civil unrest and the way the left is just galvanized and just kind of emboldened to do violent things anyway. I mean, you look at the ICE stuff, them doing things that if a conservative did it in an abortion clinic, they would be put away for life.
Oh, yeah.
But they can hem in ICE, you know, federal government vehicles and, you know, bust the windows. It's bizarre and get away with. Of course, a lot of them have just caught charges finally. We're finally starting to see that. But we're just entering an era where it seems all right. They just think it's okay to do these things. So I would not be messing with that. I think if I were the Democrats, I'd be like, let's just go ahead and compromise a little bit here and figure it out, because there's going to be a lot of mad people and they're emboldened to do a lot of things.
Well, unfortunately, so you might be right about that. Listen to Hakeem Jeffries, number two in the House.
It said what you are asking the Republicans to do right now when they control the White House, the Senate, and the House is effectively what the Democrats could not do when they controlled all three of those heads of government themselves. The 10-year setup for this, the 3-year setup for the expiration of these credits was intentionally put in. It was put in when you controlled the White House, the House, and the Senate. You couldn't get it passed for longer. And so this is a setup that kind of your own creation that you all couldn't extend beyond that. Now you want the Republicans to do something you didn't do when you were in power.
Okay, so this is on MSNBC, of all places, where you have an anchor that's calling out Jeffries very appropriately.
It's not a setup beyond what we could do. We extended the Affordable Care Act tax credits in 2022. For 3 years. The program is working. It's providing health care to tens of millions of people in an affordable way, and it should be continued. It's interesting to us that Republicans decided that they would prefer to permanently extend massive tax breaks for their billionaire donors in their one big ugly bill.
Well, that was a terrible response, Scott. And you know, she kind of caught him there because he didn't really have an answer. And then he pivots to the tax cuts. And then the follow-up to that, and I don't know if I heard what the follow-up was, my follow-up would be, but you understand, if Kamala was in the White House and you were the Speaker of the House, you would have raised taxes on all of the American people. They like to play the class warfare game and go to the rich people, but everyone would have had a tax increase. They just don't want to talk about that.
Right. And when they talk about a tax increase or a tax decrease for the rich, like in general, even for the tax cuts that Trump oversaw back in his first term, like the percentage went down larger for lower income people. And they always say, well, the rich got a tax cut. Well, maybe they got a 0.5% or 1% or something, so you can look at the raw numbers. But they just don't understand percentages. It's super odd.
It is odd. It really is. Scott Moorfield from Town Hall. Let me ask you this on a different topic because I'm short on time here. But what's going on? We haven't really talked about this on a national basis with Ron DeSantis and the legislature in Florida on the topic of property taxes, because they're trying to get rid of the property taxes, right?
Yeah, and I think it's a great idea. You're basically, if you're forced to pay a property tax, you're basically renting from the government. It's absurd. I mean, you have some elderly couple that bought their house 40 years ago or paid their house off 30 years ago or whatever. The place becomes a tourist mecca or something like that, and now their house is worth 5 times what it was, and then they're priced out of their house, and they have to sell it. It's absurd. So you do have to figure out some ways to get local and state money. I get that. But property taxes,
it's just super unfair. There's so many better ways to do it than that.
Well, you know, and we have a situation here, you know, that there's people in the legislature that talk about getting rid of the, sometimes we do this differently in Missouri. It's kind of messed up. We have property taxes on our homes, okay, and our farms and everything like that. We also have personal property taxes, and those are on your motorcycle, your car, I think even on your livestock sometimes, right, Sue? I'm not sure. So we pay, but then the argument is, okay, let's say we stop the personal property tax. If you look at it, and I've lived in other states, so I know some of this, our regular property tax is not quite as high as in some states. But again, this is about spending money. And if you're giving more and more money to government, they are certainly going to spend it. They're not going to save it or kick it back to you unless you do something like this.
Right. Yeah. I think, honestly, and Virginia does it kind of like Missouri does it, which I'm surprised Missouri does it because they're run by Republicans.
Oh, yeah,
right?
But so some of this stuff goes back, literally some of this stuff goes back decades. That's what you got to remember.
Yeah, so they're basically doing what Virginia's doing. And so Virginias are taxed out the wazoo. My mom lives in Virginia. I mean, it's right on the border of Tennessee, so you can kind of see the difference, you know. They're paying taxes on their income. And then their property and every coming and
sales
going.
Tax.
And
our sales tax is pretty high here, too.
Yeah, and Virginia has a sales tax also. I mean, yeah, Tennessee's is higher because we don't have an income tax or a property tax. But guess what? We also have a balanced budget, so it can be done. You just have to exercise a little bit of fiscal restraint. But there's so many other ways to any sort of consumption tax is honestly going to be better than a property tax. Because that way everybody contributes based on what they consume. So, I mean, there's other ways to do it, but...
Did you see you don't have an income or property tax in Tennessee?
We don't have an income tax or a property tax.
I'm moving to Tennessee. That's what I said. You got a place for me to stay? I'm moving to Tennessee, Scott Moorfield. Always great to have you on. Thank you very much. Take care. I mean, that sounds like a pretty good deal, doesn't it?
It's not bad at all.
See if we can get that here.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, just one point of clarification. I appreciate Scott Moorfield texted Fred. They have property tax in Tennessee. They just don't have personal property tax.
Right.
And they don't have state income tax. So that's pretty significant. Yes, it does. So this is fun to kind of go back in history, and he'll hear rather Bill Gates and what he said about the apocalypse, the climate apocalypse.
Certainly climate change will make entire ecosystems die off. It'll make parts of the world you know, impossible to live in.
It is rushing at us with such speed and force. It's completely unprecedented.
The world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change.
The world that you will be bringing your children up in and your grandchildren up in will be increasingly unhealthy and uninhabitable.
No. It is what we decide now that will define the rest of humanity's future.
Oh, yeah, that's my favorite. Greta, she makes me throw up in my mouth just a little bit. But now, you know, the first soundbite there was Bill Gates then. Here's Bill Gates now. Is there alcohol or weed involved or something?
Climate is a super important problem. There's enough innovation here to avoid super bad outcomes.
What?
We won't achieve our best goal. The 1.5 or even the 2 degrees.
Darn it.
And as we go about trying to minimize that, we have to frame it in terms of overall human welfare, not just everything should be solely for climate.
I am speechless here this afternoon that Bill Gates, someone who has been chief among climate alarmists, and Gregory Wrightstone is with us, a geologist and executive director of the CO2 Coalition in Virginia. I mean, that kind of made me, if I was driving, I may have driven off the road there, Gregory, that he finally admitted what some of us have been saying for a long, long time.
Yeah, I was doing fist pumps when I first read about it. And he's not alone. There were a couple, there were really several of these previous climate alarmists, big ones, that have now come around and say, well, you know, it isn't really an existential threat after all. It's a problem, but, you know, we need to take care of the world's poor and take care of making sure they're okay. And so Kathy Hochul in New York, again, just yesterday, said about the same thing. We can't ignore the fact disruptions in our economy have occurred because of our climate policies. I have to moderate and ensure I'm doing something right for the people of New York. And then also there was a Ted Norhaus of the Breakthrough Institute came out again just a couple of days ago saying about the same thing. Is, well, yeah, I said that the world was going to end because of climate change. And, you know, I was wrong. It was mostly hyperbole. And the predictions I was using that I thought were going to occur. Now I observe there's no way they're going to occur. There might be some warming, but it won't be 5 degrees Celsius warming. It might be 2. We can handle that. And so we've got these people coming out. There's been a sea change. It's really been moving in the direction of the truth, the facts, the science, the data that we've been talking about every time I'm on your show.
Part of it is because of the science. Now, sea change is an interesting word because there was even in the past week a story about sea level, which has been exaggerated, the rise of sea level. And now they're kind of admitting this, right?
Yeah. And okay, sea level, we're in a warming period. That's a fact. That's given. We know that for a fact. We can talk a little bit about how we know that, but it's definitely warming. And sea level, because of that, is rising at the rate of 7 inches per century. It's rising in the year 2025, this decade, at the same rate as what it did in the mid and late 1800s. It's not accelerating, which you would expect if CO2 was driving increasing temperatures. We should see increased sea level rise rate, and we're not.
Yeah.
And it's not. And again, 7 inches in a century. Well, that's barely your great 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 grandkids. It will barely be above their ankles. Is that something to worry about? No. And the other thing with sea level, I believe we talked about this last time I was on your show. Forgive me for my horse.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
My wife gave me her nasty cold. But if we look at sea level, some of the most at-risk islands in the world are the Maldives in the Indian Ocean that are barely above sea level. 18,000 years ago, those islands were also barely above sea level. And in the last 18,000 years, sea level has risen nearly 400 feet. So you have to ask yourself, obviously the question is, why are those islands not under 400 feet of water? And because these islands grow along with sea level. Coral grows very fast. And there's a geologic process known as accretion, where the sands and gravels get swept up onto the island and then distributed by natural forces and winds across the island. It occurs slowly. So They're saying the Maldives are going to be underwater in 3 decades. Well, that'll be what, 3 inches of sea level rise? If they haven't been underwater, with
I think they'll survive.
Why would the next three?
It's unbelievable. Gregory Wrightstone is with us. He's a geologist, executive director of the CO2 Coalition. Let me address one issue that is really, I think this is important. And I feel like for 2 decades, I've been one of the few people that have ever brought this up consistently in my climate change interviews, either with you, Dr. Roy Spencer has become a friend, Dr. Anthony Lupo, who is a climatologist at the University of Missouri. And I think this was illustrated by Bill Gates. What about all the people on the planet that the left in particular is supposed to have open, warm hearts for, feed them, make sure that they can survive, who do not have access to water, to electricity, to some of the things that we're all spoiled for? But these are the people, the climate alarmists, that want everyone to live in basically a shack in order to solve the world's problems, which wouldn't be solved anyway, we now know, and Bill Gates is admitting it. So let's, as someone who is not a denier myself, I don't think you are either, someone who acknowledges that the climate is shifting and changing, let's focus on what we can do to adjust and to, you know, make changes to whatever we do in the future. I'm kind of drawing a blank on the word here that I'm looking for, but that, you know what I mean.
Yeah, and there's a direct correlation between energy consumption and prosperity and GDP, gross domestic product. The more energy you consume, the better off you are financially.
Right.
And the worst, and what they're doing, these climate alarmists, up until hopefully he has had a true conversion, Bill Gates and the others, they had been proposing to completely cancel out. It's basically the global south, the developing world of sub-Saharan Africa, Asia, Southeast Asia, India, Vietnam, and the others. They want to prohibit them from developing their domestic energy reserves of oil and natural gas and coal. They want to prevent that. And what they're doing is destining these billions of people, and they are billions of people living in energy poverty. They're destining them to continue generational poverty.
That's awful. It's awful.
Yeah. It's just inherent. And what do we want to do to lift these people up out of generational poverty? Provide them affordable, abundant, reliable energy. And that's how you lift these people up out of energy poverty. I've got a science and research associate, DJ Jayaraj, that lives over in southern India and writes a lot about this. And he experiences it on a daily basis of his electricity going out, how the people there have to suffer, how the woman with the seamstress down that he knows saved up and bought an electric sewing machine. But now the electric goes out so often, she can't use it.
Yeah, that's
well, she had a pedal operated one, and she really was excited about this. But now it's down for 3 hours a day, and she can't use it.
It's an important part of the conversation that has been missing in most of the legacy media. And that very difficult word that I was struggling for, because apparently it feels like more of a Monday than a Wednesday, was adaptation. Let's learn how to adapt to this, because if we know things are coming and we know some things are changing, we are smart enough in this society in particular to make adaptations and still survive as a human species. It's always great to have you on, Gregory. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Sue, I used to have, you know, when I worked on the other side of the building on the KMOX side, you know, I worked there from 2006 until 2021. I had good friendships. I don't want to mislead anyone there with coworkers, but we did get pretty passionate about some issues. And in my office, I shared my office with one of the executive producers from KMOX. We'll keep names out of it at this point. It was a friend of mine anyway, but I'll just keep names out of it. But we would get along on a lot of things, but on the climate change thing, he'd pop off and then I'd say, you guys are nuts on this stuff. I mean, stop it. Because to me, it never made sense, all the doom and gloom, mainly because ever since the doom and gloom has been predicted, we have not had doom or gloom.
That's
so
true.
For Bill Gates to come out and look, this is crazy. And this is an important story that will not get covered by most of the legacy media. I mean, you have organizations out there, and I think this is changing, like the LA Times, that made it very clear editorially more than a decade ago that they will not put into print any other views on climate change other than the scientific. Remember, it was settled science, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's anything but settled science. And this is interesting right now. Let's go back to the sea data. So this is a report that was in a Substack, and I'll get back to what Mike Schellenberger said about this, who's been very active as well. But this is on a guy, Dr. Matthew Wielicki from Irrational Fear Substack. He goes, if you follow the climate conversation for any length of time, and we all have, right, you've seen this same drumbeat over and over. Satellite data shows a shocking acceleration in sea level rise, which validates climate projections and proves that human activity is driving global change. You've seen headlines like satellite data reveals shocking acceleration in sea level rise and global sea levels are rising faster and faster. Now, to make it clear on one point that I've made over the maybe even over the decades, in my mind, if we lose California and Nevada becomes oceanfront property, I think that's a win in our current political condition, but we can talk more about that later. But what the doctor says here is something crucial has been missing from the coverage of all this. Tide gauges are the instruments bolted to coasts that measure the water where people actually live. They're the oldest and most direct record of local sea level. A new peer-reviewed paper compares local projections with local observations and tests for acceleration at sites around the world. The authors find that about 95% of suitable tide gauge records show no statistically significant acceleration in the rate of sea level. So Mike Schellenberger, who along with Matt Taibbi and a couple of the other ones out there, has been a reformed leftist who's kind of pointed his attentions in a different direction, recognizing how many lies have been told to us by the legacy media on this particular issue and many over the years. So he wrote this in response to this new information. For years, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, it's known as the IPCC, has claimed that human-caused climate change has accelerated sea level rise. The claim is false. There is no scientific evidence of accelerated sea level rise since the mid-19th century, and thus none showing human-created emissions cause an acceleration in recent decades. This does not mean that climate change isn't happening. I want to make that clear as well, because I've never denied that the climate is changing, right? The question is to and this is me, I'll get off of what Mike's posting, twofold. First, how much, if any, are we causing? And more importantly, second, how much, if any, can we do about it? And the latter question, the second part of the question, is rhetorical because the answer is not a whole hell of a lot, right? So he says this does not mean that climate change isn't happening. It is simply that it has not caused the sea level to rise at any rate higher than one would expect without human-caused climate change. Not only that, but the top scientists know this fact and have deliberately misrepresented it for years, deceiving the public. This is the part that's more important now. In September, he says, I reported on one of the first global studies of sea level rise that used tide gauge data. I just read some of that to you there, which is the only real world data that goes back long enough to the mid-19th century that would allow one to detect whether sea level rise had accelerated, decelerated, or remained steady. Since then, Michael Schellenberger says, I exchanged over 50 emails with one of the world's leading sea level rise scientists, Robert Kopp from Rutgers University. He says, I heard back from the IPCC, NASA, NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. What I learned, he says, shocked me. For years, the world's top scientists have known that they cannot prove that there has been an acceleration of sea level rise. And yet, they have still told the public that they can. Not only that, in the process of this exchange, I gained a glimpse into how the scientists have been able to mislead journalists, policymakers, and the wider public for so long. You might think this is either old news or unimportant. Some climate scientists in the years have pointed out that the real-world data do not support claims of acceleration. And in recent years, a supposed increase in natural disasters from climate change has eclipsed sea level rise in terms of attention-grabbing headlines. But sea level rise, since the 1990s, has been the main justification for the apocalyptic climate claims. And past efforts to debunk sea level rise have failed to show scientists were deliberately misleading. The media and others have published terrifying maps of the future showing cities underwater. Accelerated sea level is one of the main justifications for predicting very high costs for adapting to climate change. Remember, I used that word adaptation, yes, that I couldn't think of here a few minutes ago. And while good scientists have debunked acceleration claims in the past, they did not clearly show how the IPCC scientists engaged in their manipulations. And now we know that. Now we know. And he says, not only can I prove that the real world data does not support the claims that there's been an acceleration, I can show that the scientists deliberately misrepresented their research, how they did it, thanks to my on-the-record email conversations with Kopp of Rutgers. And he has Substack. posts along these lines that prove these claims. So let me go back to my conversations that I used to have with my fellow Camo X employees about climate change. Stop it. Okay, stop it now. You should have stopped it 20, 30 years ago, all this crap. Greta Thunberg, the most abused child on the planet, spouting her nonsense for how long now? I'd say about years. 12 years, yeah. Right? I'd say about the same amount of time that we weren't even supposed to exist on the planet, according to idiots like Bill Gates and others. And now he says this? Listen to what he said about the Paris Climate Accord.
And I wonder now, when you look back, do you say to yourself that the Paris Climate Accord and its goals were misplaced?
No, not at all. That was a key milestone because the countries of the world said, hey, this is a mutual problem. The temperature rise, the entire world will experience a temperature rise from the emissions from all these countries. Mm-hmm. So getting countries to commit was very, very important. The one thing about that accord that turned out not to be realistic was the ambitious goal of staying to 1.5 degrees. We won't be able to do that.
Okay, what did I just say? Remember what I said a couple of minutes ago? This is a two-part thing. Are we causing this, and how much are we causing it, if any? The second part, what can we do about it? Bill Gates just admitted, not a whole hell of a lot. Shut the F up, you climate change alarmists.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.